This is Theology on the Go, a brief interview about an eternal truth.
They bring the external issue and they're just saying, please help me stop my addiction to pornography, for example, or you know, I want to change my desires. And those are good things, and we want to help them in that area. But usually they don't have a deeper understanding that this is not just about modifying your behavior. This is about a much deeper transformation of your entire self and your worship.
Hello and welcome to Theology on the Go. I'm Jonathan Master, joined as always by my friend and co-host James Dalzell. James, how are you today?
I'm doing well. It's good to be here.
We're very excited to have our guest today, Mark Sanders. Mark's the president of Harvest USA. And for those of you who don't know what Harvest USA is about, I think their website summarizes it well, and we would commend the website to our listeners. But the way they phrase it is equipping the church to bring the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to transform the lives of those affected by sexual sin. And I will say, just by way of preface, before we welcome Mark in, that as I travel around to different churches, which I do as part of my job, there is almost never a church that I visit where I don't have someone grab me afterwards and talk to me about the way in which sexual sin, whether it's pornography or transgenderism or homosexuality, has affected their lives directly. Or maybe they'll, you know, the very common thing is someone will say, what do I do? My granddaughter is saying XYZ. And so we all know this is prevalent, pervasive, and it needs to be taken seriously and addressed theologically. So we're grateful for Harvest USA, and we're grateful for Mark. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be with you both today.
Mark, I wanted to begin with a broad question, which is, could you tell us a little bit about Harvest USA, what resources it offers, and what you're trying to accomplish? I read the tagline, but maybe go a little deeper than that. And why would people why are people going to benefit from the resources that Harvest USA has?
Yeah, thank you. We've been around for a little over 40 years. We were started in 1983 out of 10th Presbyterian Church down in Center City, Philadelphia, as an outreach to the gay and lesbian community there. We saw a lot of people come to Christ. Male prostitutes were actually soliciting on the doorsteps of the church, and that's kind of how the ministry got started. And over the years, as the rise of the internet, it's become much more of a broad discipleship ministry, addressing any way that sin has affected our sexuality and our gender. And we're just seeing more and more of the ways that the fall and a denial of God as our creator is going in just more and more directions with sin. And so we want to continue to see how Scripture brings clarity on God's design, but also brings clarity on the hope that we have in Christ. And so we have four main types of ministry that we do at Harvest, and we have a twofold mission. One is to minister directly to men and women and families affected by these issues, but also our second role is to equip the church, because we don't ultimately want to try and replace the church on these issues. We want to have the church equipped to disciple their own people in these areas. And as you said, I talked to many pastors as well, and most of them on some level feel like they know some of the theology, but often feel ill-equipped to know how to, on the ground, walk with people in these issues. And so we have ministry to men who are wrestling with any kind of struggles. We also have ministry to women, and that's often something that's not talked about in our churches as much, that women are struggling as well. One-third of every visit to a pornographic website is a woman. And so women can often feel an extra degree of shame about these issues because they feel like, oh, I'm struggling with a man's issue. Something must be particularly wrong with me about that. And then we also have a ministry for the wives of husbands who are impacted by sexual unfaithfulness. And this is also an area that is often underlooked in the church, where maybe they will come around the person struggling themselves, but there is sometimes a lack of care for the collateral damage that happens with their families and particularly with their spouse. And then our last ministry is for parents whose children identify as LGBTQ+. And that is actually our most growing ministry in terms of demand and need right now. And I would say 10 years ago, most of the parents reaching out, it was because their son or daughter was identifying as gay and were in a relationship. But now more and more parents are coming to us because their daughters in particular are identifying as transgender. And so we do all of this ministry in our office, but we also provide resources through books, through curricula, more and more through online courses to equip the church to handle these issues.
Mark, when it comes to the theological kind of underpinnings of your the approach to sexual unfaithfulness of any variety, and you cover sort of some of the major flashpoints in our current cultural conflict, what are sort of the guiding principles at Harvest that you would not just to say this is what we believe, but really commend them as sort of guiding theological or biblical principles to anyone who's kind of facing challenges of sexual sin?
Yeah, thank you. There's a few that come to mind immediately. The first overarching principles is that we have something called the tree model. And if your listeners are familiar with CCF, this is different than the three trees. We just use one tree. But it's this idea that the fruit or behavior of our lives stems from a deeper source, that it's not just changing behavior. It's not a behavioristic kind of way of understanding transformation, but a true heart change is what is ultimately needed. And so we look at all of the different ways in which our behavior is manifesting a deeper allegiance of our hearts. And so we go through the idea that when we minister to people, they bring the external issue and they're just saying, please help me stop my addiction to pornography, for example, or you know, I want to change my desires. And those are good things, and we want to help them in that area. But usually they don't have a deeper understanding that this is not just about modifying your behavior. This is about a much deeper transformation of your entire self and your worship. And we want to help people understand that what affects our hearts. Obviously, fundamentally, what affects our hearts is the fall and original sin and being born in Adam. But we also want to see and take note of the fact that the environment we grew up in also has shaping influence. It's not determining ultimately what we do, but it does influence us in powerful ways. And so we want to address those things. And then we want to address the idea that, for example, with pornography, yes, lust is an issue that to be repented of, but there are things that are driving that typically that are more than just lust, that are deeper, like a desire for comfort, a desire for acceptance or belonging, a desire for control. There are deeper things that we want to help people repent of those issues, because the reality is if they're sin is manifesting in a sexual way, it's probably also manifesting in a lot of other ways as well. And that's something we often see, that as people start to repent of one particular behavior, they start to see, oh, you know what? The same poor idolatry that I'm dealing with is also impacting the way I love my wife. It's also impacting the way I do my job. And there's a much deeper kind of full orb transformation that we're looking for. And so that's one of the biggest areas of theological commitment to the idea that the heart is the seat of our will. The heart is what God ultimately is transforming. It's from that foundation that our behavior flows.
Mark, I wonder if you could speak directly to pastors and then also directly to parents. And maybe the best way I can frame it is what is it that you would wish that pastors knew about either the extent of sexual sin or the way that they might be equipped to address it? And same with parents, because you mentioned pastors having the theological categories, but not necessarily always knowing how to apply them. I think that might even be more true when it comes to parents. They sort of generally know what it is that God's word teaches, but it seems like this difficult, uncomfortable, and perplexing, and really deeply held kind of thing that they're not equipped to address. So could you just briefly speak to parents and briefly speak to pastors in terms of how they should and why they should really be concerned about these things?
Yeah. For parents, I would say there's both the proactive kind of, when you have smaller children, really realizing the way in which parents today in particular have to be much more proactive and on guard with the influences that are just all around them. You know, maybe 50 years ago, parents could kind of let their kids watch TV a little bit more indiscriminately and know that they're not going to be getting these very pervasive ideologies thrown at them. But the reality is today is that not only do you have to be, as parents, much more alert to the fact that the culture is going to be preaching to your kids from the earliest of ages. And even things like Disney, for example, has an ideology underneath it that is follow your heart. Your feelings are determinative of what you should do. And from that, so even things that seem benign are actually feeding all of these deeper structural commitments to how do I evaluate what is true, what is good. And so I think for parents, I would say the proactive part and the reactive part to these issues is about a deep ongoing dialogue and relationship with your kids. I think that's the biggest thing I would say, that if you want to instill in your children a robust anthropology and understanding of sin, understanding of God's design, that's not going to be just a one-off talk that you have when they're 13 years old about the birds and the bees, but a much more age appropriate as they age, start to have these conversations. And really, because there's going to be a lot of things that they're going to be facing, that if they don't have that foundation, it's very appealing. It's very and it's going to appeal to their experience. And so giving them a grid to interpret what they're experiencing, what they're feeling, I think is going to be key. And then as they start to struggle, I think what most parents who come to us want, if their child starts to identify as gay or transgender, they want a what's the quick fix? How do I have my child stop identifying this way? And helping them see that, again, every situation is different. But I would say if they're starting to go down that path, realize you need to be in this for the long haul with your child. And we don't know exactly where this is going, but having much more of a wanting to enter in and have a relationship with them that's going to seek to get to know them, and then having the very difficult challenge of how do I love my child? How do I affirm that I care for them without accepting the sin and all of the things that go along with that, and recognizing at the end of the day that there might be a point that comes where your child might reject the fact that if you don't accept my behavior, then you are not accepting me. And they might be the ones to kind of cut off the relationship at that point. But the parent themselves are not doing that. And so I think there's a lot of, just ways that parents need to be able to recognize what are we ultimately after in this relationship going forward? What are the things we're going to stand on? And how do we have a long season of prayer that regardless? And that's what we see often with people who are in their adult life now and are coming back to the Lord. And they'll say that my parents for decades were praying for me and I didn't even know it. But it was their prayer ultimately that did that. And I would say the same for pastors. I think pastors are busy, obviously, and they have a lot of people to care for. But with sexual sin thrives in the darkness, in isolation. I heard one group member once tell me he was in mold remediation, and he was saying sexual sin is like mold. It festers in the dark. It grows where nobody sees it. And before you know it, it's taken over the entire house and you didn't even realize it. And there's a very similar way that I think pastors need to understand, whether it's the pastor themselves or equipping people in their congregation to realize that what is probably most effective to help Christians who are struggling in these areas is having spaces where they can have ongoing confession, transparency, accountability, encouragement in these things, because it's a sowing and reaping principle. If someone typically, when they get caught or they confess, they've typically been sowing into this for maybe a decade or two. And the idea that just one confession, maybe read a book, maybe, you know, go to some counseling for a bit, the thought that that's going to undo years and maybe decades of sowing and reaping into sin is probably not realistic for most people. So I think pastors need to have a much more robust understanding of the long haul kind of work that needs to be done in these issues.
Mark, as we come to wrap up our conversation, we have been very grateful for this and the Ministry of Harvest USA. What are a couple of the recent curricula that are offered on your website that you might recommend our listeners to? Because it does seem that the council is very timely. It's kind of meeting the firestorms where they're happening. And so maybe you could speak about one or two of those.
Yeah, thank you. I would say two things. One is for every sphere of our ministry, we have a curriculum that we use in our groups that we offer for free online for anyone to download. And so I would really encourage people to check out our website to, if they want to walk with a man, a woman, a spouse, a parent who's wrestling with these issues, download and check out our curriculum. And you can do that one-on-one. You can just read that for yourself if you're struggling, or you can use this in a group setting. The other thing that's more recent to our site is our online courses. And we have two courses dedicated for parents specifically who want to proactively walk with their kids. And this is Raising Sexually Faithful Kids and Parenting Boys and Girls in a Gender Confused World. And so the first one is more of a foundational course to understand how can parents have the sex talks? How can they protect with technology? How can they walk with their child if they're struggling? And then the second course is much more addressing the trans and gender issues that are going on today, and how parents can be aware of what to do to protect their children that way.
Mark, we really appreciate your time with us. Again, we want to commend to all of our listeners, whether this is a presenting issue in your life or in your family or not, no doubt it is closer to you than you think. So HarvestUSA, which is all one word, .org, is the website we'd recommend. And Mark, thanks so much for your time with us today.
Appreciate it. Thank you both.
James, what I said at the beginning is what I would underscore right now, which is these issues are pervasive. I've known about Harvest for a long time, and there was a time, I think, when it appeared to be speaking to just a specific subgroup, that was struggling in certain ways. And so it was an important ministry, grateful to the Lord for it. But now I would almost have to say that these issues, and Mark alluded to this in talking about raising children, these issues are everywhere. And even if they're not presenting issues in your family or among those who are closest to you, they're no doubt things that people close to you are confronted with at the very least. And you talked about the entertainment industry and the pervasiveness of some of these underlying presuppositions. So it's a vital ministry that I would say is becoming even more obviously vital in the last however many years.
What I appreciate is their attempt to get down to the roots and not just deal with the fruits. Those fruits come from somewhere. He alluded to it in his comments about Disney and the kind of be true to yourself. And that's the truest you can be. Sometimes in the classroom, teaching college students, in fact, I did this the other day. I told my students, don't be true to yourself if yourself is bad.
Yeah.
It was I think we kind of got to get past these cliches of being true to yourself is the best thing you can be. But if yourself is bad, that's not a good way to be. Be a better self and then be true to that. And I think that's what Harvest, I really do think that they get down there to the level of the heart of Christ likeness, of the gospel, of its transforming power, that God has appointed us unto good works and in all spheres of our life, including with regard to our views of our sexuality, of our gender, of sexual behavior. And this is one of those faithful ministries that it's a joy to commend. And often this is one of two that I recommend to people if I'm contacted on where can I get help.
Yep, I do the same. I recommend it all the time, and they've been remarkably faithful even in the midst of challenges directly to them. And so grateful to the Lord for his work through them. We want to offer our listeners the opportunity to win a book. We try to do this at the end of each episode, and our friends at Harvest USA have been gracious enough to give us some copies of a new book called Across the Kitchen Table, Talking About Trans with Your Teen. And so if you'd like the opportunity to win that, you can buy that at the Harvest USA website, but we have a few copies to give away. You can go to Theology on the Go or placefortruth.org and enter your information, and we can take it from there. If you are, if you know someone who might benefit either from this episode or from any of our episodes, please pass it along. We welcome your feedback and suggestions, questions, people we should interview. And if you can rate and review the podcast, that helps us spread the word as well. If you're able to donate financially to the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals, you can do that at alliancenet.org or placefortruth.org. There are donate buttons prominently displayed on both of those sites. And as always, thank you for listening to Theology on the Go, a brief interview about an eternal truth.